your scripture, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 26 is where we'll be looking at today. And our continuing our Sermon on the Mount, the standards of the Master. And we'll be looking at the title. You can see, Thou Shall Not Kill. I was just thinking as I was studying this for this lesson, we live in a world where violence is the norm. Do we not? And you say, think about our movies, our video games. They're full of violence for the sake of entertainment. Now, we'll even say, listen, as an action guy or action movie guys, you know, if you say, oh, that wasn't a good movie. Why? There wasn't enough killing in it. I mean, seriously, we just really have got to a place that we're kind of callous to the thought of our entertainment. We're not far from the Rome and the gladiators, okay? We're not. And in fact, you say, how could anybody ever do that? Well, it comes from violence, being callous to violence and the things that are around us. And if you remember, in our last sermon, the last verse that we looked at was our memory verse for last month. Can you quote your memory verse for last month? Remember? It says, for I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I know you guys got that down. You could have said it. I know you could. But I want you to know from here on, the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, is that that's a hinge verse. You say, what's a hinge verse? From now on, that verse will be, he's going to flesh out what he means by that. By this idea of your righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's going to show us what he means by that. And he gives us really six illustrations of what he's trying to teach us. And so I love that. Jesus was very practical, okay? He was very practical. He didn't try. He didn't speak over people's heads. He didn't come and could he have tooted his horn? Could he have spoken Greek and told you all these things? Yes, he did. That's not how he ministered. He took the word of God and he said, this is what it means. And he's going to change some things. You say, how could anybody ever change some things? He's God. God can do that, all right? Jesus said, well, he never said he was God. It's all through the scripture. When we see it and we flesh it out. He's changing. He's saying, listen, I want you to see these things this morning. I want you to see that it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and this is what it looks like. So let's stand to our feet in the honor of God's Word and reference God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. This is Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of old, to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on your way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your presence, as Donnie has already acknowledged. We thank you for what you're doing. Be glorified. Hide me behind the cross, and may your word go forth. In Christ's name, you may be seated. So we get to this where this righteousness that he said must exceed this righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, this superficial understanding. And now he's going to start showing us what he means by that. And so I want you to see the explanation first. When he says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Very interesting verses this morning. And it's going to find us and hit us right where we're at. When I'm studying this, okay, I'm getting nailed. I'm getting beat up. I don't want you to think as a pastor I'm sitting here reading it saying, oh yeah, that'll apply to this, this, and that. No, you know what it's applying to? Right here. Me. And I have never, never. never studied or preached a series of messages like this Sermon on the Mount that has not, it has eaten my lunch, okay? It has eaten my lunch. Why? It's the standard of the Master. It's the standard of the Master, and He's showing us exactly what it is that He expects. Remember Jesus, and how does Jesus line up with the Old Testament? Some people will say, look, oh, the Old Testament. No, that's in the past. Jesus comes on the scene. I talked about this. This is a new age, and so He's abolishing. He's doing away. He's making something brand new. And you know what He said? Verse 17 tells us, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus is saying, I'm not throwing the Old Testament away. I'm showing you this is what it meant, and this is what it is pointing to. And so when we get into this sermon, I want you to understand that He's fulfilling these traditions that the scribes and the Pharisees have. He's trying to show you, listen, that is not what it meant to be. We've got to be real careful with our traditions, don't we? Oh, my goodness. We're very traditional people. We like to do things the same way a lot of times. Just because it's always been done a certain way doesn't mean it's the way that God wants it to be done, okay? Can I get an amen from that, please? It's not always easy to take. Just because it's always been done a certain way doesn't mean that's the way that God wants it to continue to do. In fact, I think God gets sick of our routines and when we get in a route. And we just keep on doing it because we've always... And you know what? That's easy. I don't have to put forth no effort because that's the way we've done it. So we just keep on doing it that way. And it's like this. Oh, praise God. Oh. That's what church has become, by the way. You see that? It ain't no wonder this group coming up saying, I don't want nothing to do with that bunch of boring. If that's all church does for me, why do I need church? Fall into a routine. Let's just be cookie cutter. Let's just keep on doing it because we've always done it that way. Do you not see? Jesus is sick of that. That's what he's coming up and he's telling them, your righteousness is going to exceed far above that. We live in 2015, people, okay? Not 40s, 50s, I don't care. I know it was good. Praise God, I wish we could have some of the standards, but we can't go back. We got to go forward, and we got to quit looking back at the good and the bad and go forward in Jesus' name. 2015. Each day, this is a brand new Sunday. Woo, ain't you glad? I don't know what you're facing or what you're up against. Brand new day, okay? Lay it all down, but I have noticed. Now listen, I know I said this to a good friend this week. I wasn't born on the mountain, but I'm a self-proclaimed mountain man now. So, but I've got the unique perspective of coming and looking in, okay? And I noticed, listen, this might be one of the greatest strongholds we're going to touch on of the mountain culture here, okay? And that's not letting go of things. I have seen, you know what, I see more families that fight amongst families here on this mountain than anywhere that I've been. Now, it happens everywhere, but man, it gets a stronghold in your life. You know what, well, I love my forgiven, but I ain't have nothing to do with them. Look, I'm serious. And you don't even know it because it's just, that's the way it's always been. We have got to break that, okay? We've got to get over ourselves, get over our heritage, get over our past. We should relish in it. A lot of good people. But we got to go on in Jesus' name, and we got to let the past be the past and go forward. Is this world and are these kids that we have around us, can we not raise them up not to be like us? Praise God, I hope so. Praise God, teach them something new. Teach them that in Jesus' name we can overcome and forgive. And we can actually even forget. That's where we have our problem. Let's just be honest this morning. The scribes and the Pharisees are always guilty of reducing the meaning and even the demands of the law. Because Jesus said, you have heard it said of old. That's that idea, that ancient times. And so they've added also, look what they added. We know that the Exodus chapter 20, we know this is the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. We know that's part of the Big Ten, right? Thou shalt not kill. Now remember, the Pharisees felt good. Hey, if we're not careful, we ain't never killed nobody. We ain't never murdered nobody. We're okay, and we start feeling good, and we'll put somebody over there. Oh, we might have wanted to many times, okay? And we're going to learn that that's just as bad as killing them as when Jesus' eyes. We're going to learn some real heart-wrenching stuff in our next few lessons that he's going to show us in these illustrations about how we think and how it really and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Now that word and what it's talking about is associated with punishment at the hands of civil magistrates. It's not talking about God. It's not talking about His judgment that we all know the Scripture says will stand before it. The scribes and Pharisees are worried about being legal. Ooh, legal. Legalism. Oh, we just want to look good and everything be all right. You know, we're legalistic. I don't drink and I don't dance. I don't chew and I don't date girls that do. And we think we're so good. Look, oh, I'm so good. I'm so much holier than you because I don't do this. And you do. You see, that's their religion. That was their idea of what being right with God was. How dare us? How dare us to think like that? I want you to know this is the premier relational verses here in this chapter. This is, you know, we're all about relations. I have come to realize the older I get how important relationships are. And the truth of the matter is, relationships never end. It doesn't matter what happens. It's relationships never truly end. And so we should understand and be able, through God's Word, is how does relationships supposed to look? What is it that it's supposed to be like? And what is it that Jesus wants us to be like, to do, and how we're supposed to act? We need to value. You know, when we're young, we have new people, new ideas, new places, and these pass. These go on, and then we start kind of settling into life, okay? And if we're not careful, settling into life is what we're talking about. We think that that's okay as long as it runs smooth. I get up and eat the same time. I go to the bathroom the same time. I watch the news the same time. I mean, we get in this routine and this rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out of it, okay? That's what a rut is, but that's how we function well within that little perimeter of our life, right? This is how I do things. So at a certain time of the day, I can call you and this is what's happening. Why? Because that's what we fall into, that routine. If we're not careful, we do God that same way, okay? Our service to God, our life to God becomes a routine and a rut. As your pastor, can I be honest with you this morning? Look, I'm going to pull the mask off. Is that okay? Everybody all right with that? Because I want you to know, I'm not bulletproof from this. I got now, if I'm not careful, I get up a certain time every morning. Yeah, you meet God in the morning. I get my coffee. You got to put the coffee on right. You got to have coffee. Coffee and Jesus just go together. I go over, make my coffee. I sit down in the same place. There's nothing wrong with these disciplines. Don't get me wrong. Sit down at the same place. I open up the Word. I read them through the Bible. If I'm not careful, you know what? I've just went through the motions of doing it, and I'm not even met with God. I'm not even met with Him. Now, I know that sometimes it's... Please don't get me wrong. I talked to a lady this week that's... If you're not careful, you spiritual people, and I know that... I understand what you're saying. If you don't feel it, it's just not... Something's not right if I don't feel it. Guess what? You don't have to feel it when you can rely on the promises of God. If you don't feel Him, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Is God a liar? It has nothing to do if you can feel it or if the hair's standing up on your arms or not. Okay? His promise said He was there. And sometimes He'll take you through the valley and through the desert, and you'll feel like, man, I'm about to thirst to death, God. Other times it's a cool spring of water. And you just sit there and just rest in His goodness. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been down the road and that certain song go on? And I'm going to tell you, by the time I come to, I don't even remember how I got where I'm going. I don't know, did I drive? Did I kill anybody? It's like all of a sudden I come to and it's I've been caught up in this moment. You say, boy, I don't want to drive in that path, Pastor. Sometimes it's like so real like that. Other times it's not. But I don't rest on my feelings. You know what? Just follow your heart. My heart's deceitfully wicked. I can't follow it, okay? I have to be careful about it. It's not this emotion or this feeling. Sometimes it's really, but it's the promises of God that I rest on. And He's saying, you know what? It's not. Don't be like the scribes and Pharisees that march to this certain beat and it makes them feel so good. Oh, we're right with the world and the rest of you lowlifes are down here. We're up here. Come on. Not careful, we get so spiritual, that's what we do. Thou shalt not kill was the sixth commandment, and they'd reduced it down to this. They were perfectly happy for where they're at. Oh, we're not killing nobody, so we're good. If we're not careful, that's the way that we do it. We feel feel pretty good about ourselves. Let's see how Jesus sees it. Not so, he said. This is not what God had in mind. How can we say he's this way? How can we say it's okay when God says this is how it's supposed to be? Jesus, why? He's God, and he's showing us. Extremely strong statement and graphic. He said those that are, verses 22, when he says, but I say to you, oh, you might not have murdered somebody. You might not have pulled out a gun. You might not have pulled out a knife. You might not have murdered somebody and you're feeling pretty good. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother. Boy, that's a smack in the back of the head, ain't it? Who's ever angry with his brother? If you're an angry person given to anger, and I've always been, and ask my wife, how many people have I killed? How many people have I murdered? I'm looking at a room full of murderers this morning, by the way. We ain't going to get out from under this one. Look what he says. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He said, oh, you might not have killed him physically, but you've murdered him many times spiritually and in your mind. And I know it's tough. Listen, we can get very angry, we can get very mad and hate, and we feel bitterness, and we feel unpleasant when somebody's done us wrong, and all these things. I know that it's this resentment towards a person because they've hurt us. Look, Jesus is saying you got to get by that. Oh, you might not take out a gun and shoot them, but you're shooting them, all right. We can't have this causeless anger, but he goes on. Not, he don't stop there. Boy, he just keeps on. Look, he says, and whoever says to his brother, Raca. And what the Raca means there is just this idea of worthless fellow, empty head, numbskull, blockhead, jerk, idiot. I don't know how many people I've murdered on 194. Okay? Or Old 16. If you've ever been on Old 16, dear Lord, that's 55 and straight as the air, and they'll be 35 and going down to there. And you know your pastor's always in a hurry. And self-righteous anger. You're an idiot! Get off the road! But look, God, and I know it's something to laugh about, but look, Lord is serious about these things. Look what it says. Raca, you worthless. He's worthless. How many times you said that? He's empty-headed. He's stupid as a rock. He's numbskull. Charlie Brown's favorite. Blockhead. Jerk. You jerk. You know you don't want to be waving at him either. Yeah. You won't be waving. Idiot or an idiot. And he says, look, he goes on, he says, you're in danger of the judgment with these kind of mindset, this kind of ideas. And I want you to know something, please, don't get me wrong. Not all anger is sin. Okay? Not all anger is sin. What did Jesus do when he found the money changers in the temple? What did he do? He made him a whip, my friend. He took him a whip and he whooped him all the way out of there. Did he not? Now, was he saying, now you got to get on out of here? Was he? No, he was angry. There's a time for righteous anger, but here's a problem. We don't know what that is most of the time. He called the, how many times did he call the Pharisees, you fools? How many times did he say, you whitewashed stones? How many times did he come in confrontation with them, and he's letting them know it's righteousness. It's his righteous something that, let me tell you that we need to understand. His anger's not like ours because we have sin. He was angry at sin, at unrighteousness. He never took a shot at somebody because of a personal rebuff or a put-down, did he? I guarantee you can't find that in Scripture. They said something about him or made fun of him. He never took a shot at them. Think about, we do the opposite, don't we? Come on, we do the opposite. Someone says something, hurt our feelings, we spew out venom and lash out. Rarely are we angry because of sin. Rarely is that. How many times do we have this righteous anger? How many times do we, if we're not careful, we associate the sin with the sinner? Come on now. The sin with the sinner. There's a big difference there, okay? We don't hate people. We hate sin. If we're not careful, we'll start hating whole countries, right? Because of what they represent. Hate the sin. Hate Satan. Hate the sin in your own life to the point that it changes you. We talk about hating sin, but most of the time we get it mixed up with the sinner, and we end up condemning people and each other, especially if they've hurt our feelings, right? We think if somebody's hurt our feelings, man, we can just pull out the, we could pull it out, it all out, right? We're going to lay it to them. Scripture and Jesus said we can't, we don't do that. He never did that, by the way, when they made fun of him and they spit upon him. In fact, he hung on that cross and he said, "Father, forgive them." How many times has somebody spit in your face that you could hang there and say, "Forgive them, for they don't know what to do"? That's looking through the eyes of Jesus. That's not looking through the eyes of man when we can do that. Are we capable of doing that? Not on our own, but in Christ we're capable of it, representing him well. We need to think about these things. Many times we think that the Sermon on the Mount has nothing to do with us. It really doesn't apply to our life. We're Christians. We're children of the King. And we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. When we do that, we find ourselves in the group of the Pharisees and the scribes, okay? These words are for us right where we're at. We never become so spiritual that we don't listen to the words of a God and apply it to our life. I've met some people that think they're so spiritual, and they can't even take whenever you come to try to teach them something because they think they have this, they've got this surrounding of God. God teaches them anything. In fact, I had somebody tell me, "Well, God will tell me." Look, it's like, so you can't be taught. Listen to me. I'll be learning until I go to the grave, okay? I don't care what hangs on my wall in the office. I don't care how many times or how much school you had. I will be a teacher. I'll be a learner and a teacher until I die. Why? Because I've got a lot to learn, okay? We all do. And this is one of those things. Like I said, we're a bunch of murderers. None of us escape. Our anger should be against sin and not the sinner and not each other. And the closer we grow in our walk with Christ, the more anger we should feel against sin and the more love we should have for the sinner. Listen, the closer we walk with God, the more anger we should have at sin and the sin in our own lives and the sin that we see in our world, but the more love that we should have for the sinner. Why? He came for sinners. He gave us that commission ourselves. He gave us a commission to reach a lost world. What is the state of your heart? Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, and adulteries. How do you react when things happen to you? How do you react? We start seeing our heart. Learn your heart. Learn to allow Jesus to work in your heart. Don't ever feel like you've made it, okay? Don't put anybody else over there when you're comparing yourself. Put Christ over there and say, "Man, I've got such a long way to go." Purge ourselves of all superiority. Long associated with the church is this superior feeling because we're not out doing the things that the world does. We feel superior. Woe be to us when we feel that way. If we ever look down on anybody, how can we look on down on anyone with religious superiority? Never devalue others. No one is worthless. Listen to me. No one is worthless. Never devalue about it. In Christ, all geese have the potential to become swans, okay? In Christ, all geese have the potential to become swans. I don't care who you think and who you put in that category. In Christ, he can transform anyone. He might even make them your pastor one day. If you only knew. If you only knew. I stand amazed at God. Help me never to get over that. Never become superior in the way I think. Why? You know what? I was a lost man, and I remember what it was to be lost. Sometimes we forget, and we put ourselves in this superior acting life that we're better than somebody else, and we're not. Jesus never did. And then he gives us these two examples to how to deal with our relationship, or the exhortation part. And he says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." I want you to know our relationships, listen, I thought about the cross. Our relationships are horizontal, our relationship with God, and vertical with each other. I want you to know, if this is out of whack, please hear me this morning. If this is out of whack, this is out of whack. You can't say, I love God, but I hate whoever, or you're in a bad relationship with whoever. God says you got to get that right. It's going to affect our worship. What does he say? Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, remembering. It's this idea of worship, bringing that gift to the altar and the sacrifice of laying your hands on it. It's this intimacy with God. You're in an intimate moment with God, but then all of a sudden, you know, have you ever done that? It's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God just all of a sudden brings something. Or he might wake you up. He'll do that too. You'll remember. You're like, you're having this moment gone that, I forgot I cussed them out today. Yeah. But I love you, Jesus. Spirit of God. God comes and he shows this person that's going to worship something between a brother or sister. We don't harbor evil thoughts and resentment. We should take these positive steps to put ourselves right with our brother. Who does it say to make the step? Well, I'd forgive them if they acted like they needed forgiveness. He didn't say that, does it? Oh, if they would just act this way, or if they acted like they had any sense, Rocka. Come on, I'm serious. You find yourself right here. He don't say that, does it? He says, you be proactive and go get it. So many people harbor resentment because something that they can't get past or somebody that they can't get past. They bring it into church and God can use them mightily. You know what? But if this was just right or if that person was just right. You know what? If you get right, don't worry about it. God will take care of everything else. God, he can do it. If he could change an old lost person like yourself, can he not make this relationship okay? Can he not get... It could be that thing that's harboring you for going on to God is not their problem, but it's your problem. And God's trying to teach you something, but you know what? We're just so hard-headed. We're not listening. Why? Because we don't like the thought of that. We see when the horizontal relationship is connected, it's connected with this vertical. Worship does not take... You know, here's the deal. It's almost God saying, I'll wait. You go get this right. Is that not what he said? Leave that gift on altar. In other words, here's the deal. You can't truly worship God if you have this vertical relationship, you can't truly worship him if this is out of whack. That's what he's saying. Leave the altar. Go get this right. See, as long as we're not committed murder, we're feeling pretty good. But then we go through these motions of worship just like the Pharisees. And if we're not careful, we'll try to cover up these things that we know. Here's the deal. We know in our hearts. We'll try to cover it up with attendance or service or these things. And God's trying to get you to... He's trying to hear. He keeps bringing you back. I don't know about you. Does he ever keep bringing you back to that spot you don't want to go? It's like you need to deal. I've already dealt with that. But you keep coming back to it. I wonder why that is. Why is that we keep coming back to that which we've got in our hand? It's because we have not dealt with it the way God wants it dealt, all right? Because when it's dealt with it, it's open and it's gone. And he keeps coming back and keeps reminding us of those things that we need to get right, but we don't want to hear that. He's saying, hey, you know, here's what, because we're really not true worship until we get it right. Because there's no value in the act of worship if we harbor known sin. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalms 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So not only is it the corporate worship, but it's the individual worship, that time of prayer. God's not going to hear your prayers until you get some things right. That's serious stuff, man. This is serious stuff when we look at that. And he says, hey, if I've offended a brother or sister in Christ, get it right. Don't wait on them to make it right. Get it right. But their personality, get it right. Get it right. That's That's what he's saying. It affects our worship, but also it affects our witness. Look at 25 and 26. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. You know what he's saying? We see urgency here. He's saying, hey, get this right. Get it right now. Why? It can't, everything rests on it. Everything rests on it, and your witness unto the Lord. Don't you tell me I love Jesus. Don't you tell me, hey, I want to see people come to know Jesus, but I'm not speaking to my brother or sister, and I haven't in 20 years. You're almost proud of it. Dear Lord. Dear Lord, what are we doing? We're missing the forest for the trees. God's saying, get these things right. If you are, but I feel like the Lord wants to use me so much. I feel like he's wanting something for me. But you know what? God's saying, well, take care of this. But you know why you won't do that? Because it's a big old pride pill. Let's just boil it down to its common denominator. It's a big old ego and pride pill. And you ain't about to get this right because that'll make you look weak or it'll make you look like you care about something to somebody that you think don't care. Jesus said, get it right. Get it right. Don't worry about all this other fluff. Get that right if you want to be right with me. Don't think in terms of our brother, but in our relationship with God. Don't think, how are they going to act? You're not worried. Look, God said, you want this right? Get this right. Don't think in the terms of over here, but think of this, honoring him, following in obedience, doing exactly what he's saying, being used to the fulfillment of what God's wanting for your life. God is judge. God is justifier. He is always making demands on us. You notice that about God? He's always making demands on us. He's not going to keep you and let you be the same old way, all right? He's that kind of God. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he's that way. The picture is of a man on his way to court and going to trial. And the advice is, if you are guilty, deal with it now. Like a legal process to set into a mechanical process, you will pay and you will pay dearly. Everyone pays when they don't get these things right. Okay? Everyone pays. When the Holy Spirit speaks, do it now. If we harbor resentment, we will gossip and slander, and our worship and our witness will be destroyed. Make sure our relationships are God-honoring. God-honoring. What about you this morning as we get to the application? What about you this morning? Is there someone you need to make it right with? Not waiting on them to make it right with you. Is there someone you need to make it right with? God says, take care of that. And do it now. How's your worship? Are you in a dry spot? Lord, just so dry. This is not going to be right until this is right. Get it right. Do it God's way. Don't try to do it your way or a culture's way. Do it God's way. Lastly, honor God by treating others in the right way. We need to start loving people enough. We hate to sin, but we love the sinner. We don't categorize. We don't put people in all a big bag, a big pot, and say they're all that way. But we see them through the eyes of Christ that love them this much. He came and he gave his life for us and for them. What is it? Who is it that maybe God has spoken to you about as we get ready to go in our time of response? Each and every one of us have murdered, slandered, raka, fool. Each and every one of us has been guilty of murder. I hope that we've kept that and made that right with the Lord. I promise you, if you've struggled, if you've got a struggle with somebody, God brought it to mind today. Now you can either sit there, or when we have our time of response, you can come and make it right with God. Or you make it right in your seat if you're too proud to come forward. I tell you what, it means a lot more to God when we're willing to step out. Don't give a flip about what everybody's thinking. But I want to make God happy and proud. What about you've never received Christ? You know in your heart, I don't have Christ in my heart. I know whenever, even a scripture like this, when he's talking about this, I've never had this. I don't even know what this feels like. It could be that you need Jesus this morning. It could be you're never going to have this until you receive Christ as your personal sinner, a Savior. That you're a sinner. He's not a sinner, okay, at all. Until you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you'll never have this relationship, okay? You can go off of grandma, grandpa, go back as far as you want to. If you've never come to that point in your life where you said, Father, forgive me for my sins, you're missing out on the greatest relationship of all. And without that, this will never be right. So however God's speaking to you this morning, let's all stand to our feet as Linda begins to play. How is it God's spoken to you today? Are you going to be obedient? Glorify God. Come on the first verse. People have come. What about you? Is there a relationship that you need to make right with God? How about your salvation? Do you know Jesus this morning? You're not saying, I sure hope so. You don't have to hope. The Bible says you may know, John chapter 20, that you may know that you have a relationship with God and life through Jesus Christ. What's God saying to you? Can you really say that? I surrender all. One more verse. This is your verse. Listen, it just wouldn't be right if you leave here with something on your heart that you know God showed you. It's called disobedience. If you're struggling, give it to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. Don't know what you're going through. God does. He loves you and He cares about you. And I do too. I want you to know any way that I can help you, I'm here. The only reason I ever say anything or challenge you is because God lays it on my heart. And God's wanting to do something great right here. And I think everybody knows that. But we'll get up to that point of going over the top and we'll pull back. Up. This is what it feels like. Pull back. Up. Pull back. Why? Because there's areas in our life that He's wanting to get right or we're never going to go on over. Okay? You got a lot of past. You got things that's happened in the past at this church that you can't let go of. We can't even go on in faith and say God's going to do this because this happened in the past. Oh my goodness, it might happen again. You can't get anywhere with God like that, okay? It ain't going to happen. But you say, God, I'm placing your hands right now. Go on. Let's go on in Jesus' name. Make a difference. 2015 for His glory. I want Him to do something and only He can get the glory for it. Not a group, not a man. We'll end in prayer. Donnie, will you close us in prayer, please?